Welcome home. We are WNST. Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore positive. We are positively in the most positive Baltimore place I can think of. It's a little empty in here right now because it's raining outside. The Orioles are playing. It's the end of the afternoon. It's Mother's Day weekend. I've given so many of these away, I'm running out. Pac-Man scratch-offs from our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I had some winners today. There was a convention in here from San Francisco. They were used to that Dungeness crab, but they got the real thing here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Your friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare just re-upped with us on an annual deal. Big appreciation to them, keeping our cars running smooth and safe. And Liberty Pure Solutions, keeping my water safe. This guy here's a guy I've been wanting to have on, and within 30 seconds, and everybody knows I don't green room anybody. So I know a little bit about you. I'm linked in with you. I know I like your cuisine, and I know I like the concept of feeding the fridge, correct? I get that right?
You got it.
Mark Butcher, correct?
Bucher.
Bucher. I got that wrong.
No,
I was going to ask you on.
Well, Butcher would make sense given my line of business right now.
Well, all right. Well, so give me the story of medium rare. Let's start with this because my dear friend Rich Johnson, who founded sportspages.com, 15 years ago, he's like, there's this French concept restaurants where they bring the steak and the potatoes and the salad, and then they bring you more. But you can't order anything else off the menu, you know? It's like, it's such a cool concept. It's a place I've sought out now in England, in Paris twice, in New York until they closed it down and reopened it. I haven't been back. D.C. had one. Medium rare is a concept that not a lot of people are familiar with, right?
Well, you know, it took us forever. So let me get back to how we actually got to medium rare, medium rare is here. So my business partner was a good friend of mine, was over in Paris for a year with his family. And by the way, this is the real story.
This is a real Paris thing.
This is the real story. There are two stories on our website that are
legend and lore.
Yes. So he needed some help with an event over there. He was running a food manufacturing company, asked me to come over and help him. I had another chain of restaurants at the time. Went over and I helped him. We crushed it. And as a thank you, he goes, I want to take you to my kid's favorite restaurant. Okay. So he takes me to...
In Paris.
In Paris.
All right.
It is raining harder than it is here. There are people lined up all around the corner, mostly French. And I'm like, I know a lot of French people. They're the most impatient people in the world. And they're waiting in the rain to get into this place.
Must be good.
We get in. Literally, how do you want your steak cooked? Medium. You want anything else to drink with it? I'll have
Do you have
a wine list? No, we've got red or white. What do you want? Just red? Half bottle or whole? What is it? We don't know. It's good though.
Do you want beer or light beer? Those are two choices.
We don't know. It's good. So we get it was one of the most obnoxious yet most satisfying dinners I've ever had. Steak, fries, wine, boom.
And then they bring you more. Right. That's the part where I try to – I always say to my cat always, like, you know, she always wants a second helping. So I say to my wife, I'm gonna give her a second helping. Well, you think we're a French restaurant?
So we go do this, and we get through this thing, and I turn to him, and I go, you know, we can Americanize this. And he's like, you know what? When I get back, we'll do it.
Usually when you say a French restaurant, you're going to Americanize it, means you're going to screw it up.
Well, that's part of the fun of it. We poke fun at the French in the whole restaurant. Throughout the whole medium rare experience, or Easter eggs of us poking fun at the French. So if you come in, you got to kind of pay attention to it.
Like, you serving freedom fries?
Pepe Le Pew and Penelope Le Pew in the bathrooms. We misspelled deliberately some French words in and around the restaurant.
All right. The E and the U mix?
You'll have to see and report back.
All right.
So fast forward a year later, someone shows me a site for my other restaurant that I had at the time, and I'm like, this isn't going to work because there's no lunch, but it's all dinner. I got a concept. Call my buddy. I said, I found a location. For what? For the restaurant we said we're going to do. That's when Medium Rare was born. Now, by the way.
How long ago was this that you ate in this French restaurant?
15 years ago.
That's probably around when I walked into New York. New York was the first place I'd experienced it.
Because
my buddy's like, you got to do up in the 60s, Lexington. We stayed on that side. Up, you know, not Upper East Side, but East Side. And
the bougie part of town.
Yeah, but like.
Bloomingdale.
It was a $50 steak dinner in New York, and they brought you two rounds, and it wasn't like.
Right.
There weren't a lot of decisions to make, and they either have a table or they don't. And it's a little bit cool, fun, kitschy. And more than that, it's so unique. that I've only experienced it in one place, and I'm looking forward to coming to your place.
We can't wait to have you.
Yeah, I mean, I really am. I've talked to my wife about it. You've been open 6 months, maybe?
We've been open 6 months, and Baltimore needs to discover. Okay. Baltimore hasn't fully discovered medium rare yet. Part of its location, we're up in Rotunda.
Okay.
The movie theaters haven't quite kicked yet because we had a writer's strike. So once we get the concerts going and the movie theater
you're
going...
You're in a little plaza in the Rotunda.
We are.
I mean, that's a... Everybody knows where the Rotunda is in Baltimore.
Oh, my God, Baltimore, come out. Let's go. We're ready for you. Uh-huh. So we go... I go to the landlord. I say, look, my burger place is going to work, but I got this steak freak concept. Well, what's on the menu? Just steak and fries. He's like, it's never going to work. You going to do chicken or salmon? I said, no. He goes, it's not going to work. It's impossible.
What do the vegetarians do, right? That's the first, right,
well,
okay.
My wife's vegan and vegetarian, actually. So I had to stay married.
Well,
and
she
eats
potatoes.
Option. And we do a grilled portobello for her that's off the menu.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So we get here, we do it. There was no landlord that would rent us space. It'll never work. I'm like, dude, it's been working for hundreds of years, as you saw. Switzerland invented it. The French ripped it off. The British ripped it off.
See, I didn't know about Switzerland invented
it. That's where it all started.
Okay.
There's no new idea in the restaurant business, ever. There's just people doing their own.
Borrowing,
doing their own iterations of it. So, boom, we get a landlord. He says, no, it's a great spot. And after going back and forth, I'm like, dude, what's your favorite Thai restaurant? I was just so frustrated. He goes, Sala Thai in Arlington, the best pad Thai ever. I get it every time. And I said, it's a single item restaurant for you. He's like, just got it. So that's what happened. And then now, you know, we're in the middle of an expansion. We've been in D.C. 14 years.
Okay, so you found this concept 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And within a year.
Open.
See, I love the concept, and I often wondered. It's what made it so special to go to New York, and when there was one in D.C., because there wasn't one in San Francisco. There isn't one in Chicago. Not that I'm, you know, I travel a ton. And in lots of places, this concept, where else can you get this in Tokyo? I mean, I'm wondering, like, is there...
No, but you know what's big in Tokyo are American steakhouses.
Oh, I know
Peter
that.
Ligers,
oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also in Brazil with the Brazilian, correct, the Fogo concept. But your concept is a French concept that is so niche. Oh, there you go. Is it like French word going with French food? That I... Finding it in the middle of Baltimore, I didn't know it existed in D.C.
in your way. Right.
And, I mean, are you trying to put this in 50 cities the way the Brazilian barbecue thing is, or no?
We are bringing medium rare to every NFL city.
Oh, okay.
Country.
All right. Because
it makes
meet,
it
meet.
Easy.
I also
am involved with the NFL. I do Taste of the NFL every year at the Super Bowl. So we got the whole NFL tie-in.
I've been at the Taste of the NFL 25 times. How many years have you been doing it?
Last four.
Okay. So not... Back in the okay, not when Wayne Kostrowski ran it, and because Brig Owens was always the Redskin or the Commander, and that would have been your table, right? In the old days,
they gave us different ones now. So I go, I'm like one of the four hosts, and then we got everyone from the country around there. So me, Andrew Zimmern, Carla Hall, Tim Love.
I've had Andrew on a bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah.
I had Tim Love on 2 years ago. I saw Carla in LA.
Good
because the thing really changed during the plague. Before the plague, it was a different kind of event.
I went
to the L.A. event at the car thing.
I was on the second floor.
Dude, I was
I'm
hanging.
I'm on that stage.
I got a picture of me and Carla Hall. My wife loves Carla.
I was there.
My wife loves Carla Hall.
Yeah, yeah. That was
and
my
we
first
went
year.
Up and did the chew. We did, you know, I'm an eater. I'm in the middle of a crab cake joint. So Mark's wondering what he's doing. This is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And the whole idea of this was to get people back to local business and back to talking without masks. And I still see people here. This is your first time in the new Fadley's, right?
Yes.
That you've spent, you're a DC guy. You're Q107. Yeah. He's got all your radio background, right?
Like, that's right.
You were the jock on rock radio, Q107.
Number one in the charts, number one in your hearts.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So you were playing like classic rock at that point or mainstream, sort of late 80s. You're probably playing Scorpions and stuff in 87, 88, 89, right?
I interned at WMMR in Philadelphia.
So well, that makes okay. Bon so you know, Wing Bowl
Van
got all that.
Halen,
okay,
Pierre Robert,
absolutely.
John DeBella. I was John DeBella's morning show producer.
Well, he and Stern had a thing.
I think as a senior high school. That's right. They didn't get along. So
I still think MMR is one of the. I listened to it four days ago.
It's one of the radio stations in the country.
Jackie Bam Bam and Pierre Robert, legends.
It's phenomenal.
So you're a Philly guy.
I'm a Philly guy.
See, I think of you as a DC guy because that's
how
I know. That's why I bring you on. Okay.
Philly guy. But no, Philly guy came to DC, got my radio job in the mid 80s.
I always tell Eskin I'm the Eskin of Baltimore, but I'm better looking. That's what I tell him. He dresses nice, though.
He's had a role. Howard Eskin has had the role of all roles.
Howard's not cool, man. Howard's a good man.
Howard's a good man. So came down here, got the radio job. Well, came down here because of the radio job, actually. And, you know, kind of went through it. And when they were redoing this building, we've been open a couple years. And I'm getting a call that the mayor's office of Baltimore wants to talk to you. I'm like, there's no way. I blow it off. Finally, I take the call. It's a deputy mayor of Baltimore at the time saying, look, we would love to show Meeting Mayor an opportunity in Baltimore. And we did a whole bunch of info where they get consumers.
Study, out. Sure. Yeah.
What do you want? And they all said Medium Rare. I said, there's nobody in Baltimore that even knows what Medium Rare is. And at that point, he said, look, we want to do something other than crab cakes in Baltimore. Our demographics telling us they want it. We got plenty of that. And I said, okay. So we get up here. We had a deal, a lease ready to be signed, put Medium Rare literally right where we're standing.
Right on.
That weekend, if you remember, a dude got hammered and drove his car up the sidewalk of Fells Point and killed a bunch of people.
I remember that.
Right. We said, we're not ready for Baltimore.
Okay.
And then it took years for me to get...
See, this is really the collateral damage, right? That this is why I do Baltimore Positive. I lived on the 23rd floor, six blocks from here. I saw the city on fire in 15. Well, my wife's a two-time leukemia survivor. I walked back and forth to the hospital during 14 and 15, 16 when the city, and then Pew went to prison, and I'm like, I need to do something. As a sports radio goob for 25 years, I said, we need to heal the city and fix the city. So,
this city
is exactly, these are things, opportunities that were lost, and then folks like Fadley that stayed in, and people
love
like.
Love the city.
Yeah.
I always love the city.
Well, you clearly, you've invested in this city, right?
Opening day, Camden Yards, back, I've been
in 92.
Here. Yeah,
nice.
Huge Ravens fan, tight with the Ravens organization.
Nice.
And they said, hey, we're going to do construction, and for the first year, the building is going to rattle because there are trains that run under it, and we're retunneling, but in about 5 years, it's going to be gone, which is where we are now.
Right.
And it's fantastic. But we said, no, we're going to wait. Then the rotunda got sold. The new owners came to us and said, let's do Medium Rare here.
Okay.
And we said, I'm down because I've been desperate to get back to Baltimore.
Okay.
And then here we are.
6 months ago, because I started seeing your name. Pronounce your last name so I get it right.
Bucher Boucher when I'm on a table.
Okay, like Bobby Boucher.
That's right.
Bucher.
Yeah.
I got to get that right. Mark Bucher is here. He's Medium Rare. I think the thing that brought you here today was that you're PR conscious. You're obviously feed people conscious.
Yeah.
I did a thing. I've done 27 Super Bowls, so I've had Zimmern sitting next to me at the Super Bowl for several times. And he always says only one way to make a crab cake, and I call Bougie on that. So next time I see – when you see him, tell him – I'll send – just say the one crab cake guy just heavily disputes that. I need to get him back on.
Deal.
But
we'll FaceTime.
Yeah, I mean, the feeding people and the message of Taste of the NFL for years.
Yeah.
This year, I did not go to the Super Bowl. I'm abstaining from Super Bowls after 3 decades of doing it. I did a thing called a cup of Super Bowl this week. So when you came, you could get a cup of soup or a bowl of soup. And we did donations for the Maryland Food Bank.
That's awesome.
And we did nothing but charity all week. So we talked about as many issues as many ways in regard to the city. Battered women, children, education, health, just along the lines. Feeding people is at the absolute core. We did food bank for the whole week.
Yeah.
And I spent time with Carmen Del Guecho and other folks. Give me your feeding story, because I didn't realize, I got very emotional last time I told this story, but my father, you know, stood in soup lines in 1929 in Scranton, Pennsylvania. My dad was born in 1919. He never voted for Republican again after Herbert Hoover. Chicken in every pot, his whole life, that's the way he thought. Steel worker at the mill, the whole deal. And all these years later, my dad would touch my stomach, and you got a dollar in your pocket, put some food in your stomach. That's what my dad would say to me, because I didn't realize my dad starved when he was. He didn't talk about starving. He talked about standing in soup lines.
Right.
But if you stood in a soup line, you were starving. Period. And food insecurity, food shaming, pantries, community, that's why you're here. But I know you're way more committed to it than I. You've rolled your sleeves up, man, you know.
So, look, I mean, COVID taught this country that our approach to food insecurity and hunger has never worked because people are still hungry.
Right.
Hunger hasn't gone away. It hasn't gotten better. It hasn't gotten worse. It always kind of stays here. And some years it pops up, some years it pops down. And when you go talk to politicians, they're all like, sure, we're in it. We'll support it. We'll do whatever we need to do. It's kind of like recycling. It doesn't work, but a politician can't get elected if they say I'm against recycling. if a politician says our current food insecurity programs don't work, they're never going to get elected. So we have a problem. On one hand, we've got an economy that wants to grow and do farming on rooftops and we waste more food coming out of the farms because our government, the USDA, agriculture, Big Ag, Monsanto, who's the big contributor, good company.
Growing lots of food that probably isn't the best for us to eat.
So here's the deal. So Monsanto pays the USDA, they lobby the USDA, they do that. They sell seeds. The more food that comes out of the ground, the more seeds they sell, right? However, most of that food gets wasted. We can't even do anything with it.
Because we have too much. In some cases.
There's too much food in this country. We're a country that's traditionally overweight because we've got abundance. We can move a strawberry from California to Baltimore overnight tonight without a blemish. Yet we're telling people to go agri-farm and do all this stuff. And I'm like, wait, stop. It doesn't make any sense. So maybe let's think about this idea of, and food banks maybe need an updating. Those who are food insecure can't cook food because they can't afford the pots and pans to make the food. And you go to Salvation Army and Goodwill, there's no pots and pans because you and me and our parents, when we move, we pack that stuff up and we take it with us because it's expensive. Our current SNAP benefit program in this country does not cover pots and pans, doesn't cover Ziploc bags, doesn't cover aluminum foil. Can't cook. So we started 20 years ago cooking people's Thanksgiving turkeys for them for free, deep frying them. Not because deep frying was a thing, but I could do thousands of turkeys on a Thanksgiving because it takes 15 minutes to deep fry a turkey. Because everyone gets the free turkey. It's the feel-good food donation part of the year, right? We're giving away all these Thanksgiving meals. No one can cook them. And then the same week on TV, you see the consumer reporters doing the black lights in the kitchens. Don't touch your kitchen. Don't touch your refrigerator. Don't touch your oven. You're going to get salmonella. Don't rinse it in the sink. It's going to splatter. Like, I can't afford to go to urgent care and put Thanksgiving dinner on the table.
The couple of times that I've gone out, like on a basket brigade and served Thanksgiving food, there were more of us servers than there were folks showing up,
right?
Because everybody has a food kitchen on Thanksgiving Day.
Correct.
It's what happens the Wednesday after Thanksgiving Day. And that's where the food bank came in for me, that I did Cup of Super Bowl in February out of the magnanimous nature of Chad Steele and the Baltimore Ravens affording me that opportunity. And it turns out it's the most food insecure month of the year in February, because everybody gives it Christmas and then it goes away. 6 weeks later, we don't have it anymore. So,
first off, thank you for doing
this. Oh, no. It's my duty.
So when COVID was announced and they said, if you're over the age of 70 or you're immune compromised, you need to just separate yourself from society. This is before we were quarantined.
Sure.
My father, who died at 84, I'm like, gee, if he were home alone right now, he didn't have Instacart, he didn't have DoorDash on his phone, didn't have a smartphone, he would starve.
Right.
So I put a tweet out that night. And I said, if anyone knows of anyone in this situation, Medium Rare will deliver a free steak dinner
this
to them.
This is in 2020, in the middle of the mess.
March 3rd, before the mess.
Oh, okay. All right.
Before the mess.
Okay.
And we started doing thousands of meals and volunteers delivering them and making sure people had food. And then when back to school came that August, if you remember, it was very politicized. Who's in person? Who's virtual? Who's in person?
Right.
D.C. was the first to say, we're virtual. Because we've been giving away meals, I met lots of people. And I said, what's the plan for school lunch? I mean, some of these families, they rely on this. We don't have a plan. We're still trying to figure out how we're going to do this stuff. DC Parks and Rec went and did hotspots. Kids can do a virtual school there. I went and borrowed refrigerators from the Washington Nationals because they had all these refrigerators around the concourses, but no fans because they were shut. There was no...
Right. No baseball, right.
No baseball. Gave me the free fridges. We went and we started delivering medium rare meals to the fridges. 100 of them a day per fridge. So these kids had meals to take home. Then we realized... Giving people
steak and potatoes or no?
Okay. Full dignified restaurant meals.
You're okay. All right.
Oh yeah. We didn't do the fries. We did salads. We did other stuff that was better in a refrigerator. So anyway, we learned that if you give someone a ready to heat meal that is nutritionally right for them, 8 ounces of protein, equal carb, equal vegetable, they're not going to be hungry for 8 hours because the protein keeps them full. So we started raising money. We started buying meals from restaurants to put in the fridges that we would design to keep people fed. And now we've been doing this thing for 4.5 years. We're really seeing some incredible data. When you put these refrigerators in markets, teenage pregnancies down, school attendance is up, high school graduation rates are up. The big note to what you hit on the head, 3 Christmases ago, a mom and 2 kids was walking up to one we have at a Smithsonian Museum. There was a TV crew from Canada that followed our delivery drivers around to the fridges, saw this mom and kids, say, hey, can we ask you a question? She was well-dressed. She goes, no, we're good. Kids run, get their meal. She gets her meal. They run back, and she goes, all right, I'll take your question. And they go, the question we never thought of, what does this mean to you?
Okay.
Now, she's like, you know, I have a full-time job. I got a car. My kids have clean clothes. I have no money after rent and utilities for food. I have none. I'm a legal assistant at a big law firm, but there's just not enough. So she goes, now I come home from work. I don't need to grab my kids, wait in line in a soup kitchen. We go wait in line at the soup kitchen. There's drug use. There's homelessness. There's mental health issues. We're 20th in line. They run out of mac and cheese. My kids got to go home hungry. And now I got to sit with them in the house with no food. Now we all come grab our meals. And we have dinner together at our dining room table every night.
The family unit.
The family unit every night. And that's the difference. And we've learned. And I'm working with politicians. I'm working with mayors. I'm working with governors. I'm working with USDA and ag. I'm saying people need the tools to cook. They all want to cook. They need the utensils, the pots and pans. The cheap stuff is available. It's on Amazon. But you need 2 things, a fixed address and a credit card.
Right.
What are we doing? So that's what we do. Feed the fridge.
And a mobile device to order it.
And a mobile device.
To order it, right? Literally.
Feed the fridge right now is putting in about 3,800 meals a day. We deliver another 150,000 meals over the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas,
but
Mother's
this has
Day.
This has a medium rare background, but you're not serving steak and french
no,
fries.
No.
This is chicken sandwiches.
No white bread, no fried food, no sugar.
All right.
So these are meals that we buy from restaurants like in D.C. we're buying from Charlie Palmer Steak. We're buying from Kava. We're buying from Rasika, Indian food.
Sure.
Number one most popular
Rasika.
Item.
Delicious.
Chicken tikka masala every Wednesday is the number one most popular item in our fridge.
Let's go get it right now. You
right.
and me.
That's what we do. But that's what we buy. And people get to experience different cuisines.
That's Barack Obama's favorite Indian restaurant right?
That's best in the world.
Absolutely.
But that's what we put in the fridges. They're dignified meals.
Nice.
And no questions.
Tell folks
no
where
sign-ups.
To find all this if they want to support you in some way.
Feed the fridge.
Feed the fridge. I said feeding. My apologies.
Right.
Feed the fridge.
That's it. And then medium rare is the fuel that allows us to do this. Medium rare puts out, 300-400 meals a day just for part of these fridges or emergency response. Or the bridge went down here. Medium rare, in fact, was the first food on the scene as the responders were there and making sure they were fed that night. That is fact. That's how fast we move.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you coming. So you drive in, and you're a D.C. sort of guy from Philly, the Baltimore part of this sort of standalone operation. Run me through this and then your Mother's Day promotion, because 23andMe is involved, so I'll give them a plug on this, but my wife is a DNA twin. My wife had a bone marrow transplant. She got leukemia at 9/11. She was a first responder at 9/11. She got leukemia in 14, again in 15. There's a guy in Germany that saved her life twice. So they are legitimately twins. If she leaves her blood at the scene of a crime, it's his blood. So we always kid him. Like, any crime in America, we're coming to find you in Germany.
Right.
But they're genetic testing, and I was not an orphan child, but could have been. I was adopted by family. There's a documentary that came out this week on my life. I hope everybody checks it out. But the DNA part of giving up a child, I was a 15-year-old parent. I was a 15-year-old with a pregnant girlfriend whose family probably would have preferred to choose a different route than we have. And my son's in my house at 39 years of age now and living in Dundalk. But the genetic match and giving up a child, and this story is such a Mother's Day. It's not the reason you're here, but it's a hell of a reason to have you here.
You know, so 30,000 feet down, I lost my mother at 17. So Mother's Day is a big deal to me.
Okay.
In COVID, in 2021, when we could start going back to restaurants, we did a thing and said, look, if you haven't seen your mother in a year, tell us why, and we'll reunite you and your mother, and you'll come in for...
And that could be any reason, right?
For coming for Mother's Day brunch.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
COVID kept a lot of people away.
Okay.
Turns out we got an answer from someone who said, I found my mom with DNA testing during COVID. So we said, well, you got a first meeting. at medium rare. So we did that years ago.
All right.
Right. So now fast forward to where we are today, Mother's
Day. This is going on every day. People, you know.
Every day.
Somebody, Jim Palmer talked about finding his family last year on a bucket. I mean, it's happening every day.
It's incredible. Using that testing in a positive way is incredible. So this year, Mother's Day, because I say, you know what? We got the new restaurant in Baltimore. Let's do it again. And let's go find a family with a story and see what we can pull together. So we went out, and we first thing we do, you know, everyone's really private about their stuff. We reached out to 23andMe. And so we want to find a family that's got a great story, that can't necessarily afford to get together, see each other. There's something else there. Let's do good. They said, we're down. So we talked to a couple families. One came forward. Mom gave up a son at 15. Never really, there was no question she couldn't keep it. Her parents wouldn't let her. And they became reunited. There's a sister in New York. The biological mom and the adoptive mom and the biological sister are all coming to Medium Rare Baltimore Sunday.
And they've never met.
For brunch. No.
See,
Sunday brunch.
I've been a part of this because I'll get crazy telling this story. But the man who saved my wife's life, we found him a year and a half later, and he had saved her life a second time and didn't get the thank you note she wrote the first time. So
wow.
So crazy, right? So he saved her life again 19 months after the first time. He got a call and said, she's still alive. She needs you. Saves her life again. She lives. We had to ask, because a two-year rule with certain countries. Some countries you never know. I think France is one of them. If he were French, it would be anonymity guaranteed, right? But if you sign, check the box and say, I want to know my donor, and they check the box, they'll put you together. We got his email address on the second anniversary of the first transplant because we thought we were going to have to wait another year and a half. No. So she was just getting better, and we flew over to Germany. Did not FaceTime, did not talk, only email because they wanted to meet. Mm-hmm. They met in a courtyard by Marriott in Gelsenkirchen, Germany, in the lobby. I'm holding the camera. We don't know what the this is an incredible thing that's going to happen at your restaurant,
it's
right?
It's super cool.
And you've witnessed this several times,
well,
right?
Well, we did it 2 years ago.
I've only been a part of one, my own.
So, you know, I'm in this business because I'm in the happiness business.
Right.
Some people are in the restaurant business. That's all they know, and they want to do that.
Sure.
We provide spaces for birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, reunions, good, positive stuff in life. People come to our restaurants.
And don't order the chicken or the salmon because they ain't got
that's
it.
That's right. So
you want a crab cake, come here.
We want to. We love being these, creating these positive memories.
Sure.
It's one of the things me and my business partners do.
Nice.
And this just, it aligned. We did it before. We would do it again, do it on a bigger scale. What better way to be impactful in Baltimore than to have Baltimore be the center of this coming weekend? We've got major networks covering it Sunday
night. Well, most people are going to hear this afterwards, so I would encourage them. Is it going to be on your website? Where is it? You're going to have a little media on this?
Well, we'll put it out on our social.
Sure, okay, sure.
Medium Rare Restaurant.
Okay.
We'll put it out on our social pages for sure. And, you know, all the networks are going to be covering it this weekend. It's big news, big positive story. We've had lots of non-positive stuff happening. So the timing's right to do it, right for the city, right for everybody.
I'm going to come in. Time's right. I saw the picture on the website after I got the medium rare thing, and I saw the French fries there and a little gravy in the middle. What's in that special gravy other than pepper?
It's a special sauce. I'll give you the recipe. You ready to write it down?
Go ahead.
Can we do it time for your battery dying?
Go ahead. Hurry up.
And that's all you
got to do. It's like Nancy's crab cake recipe. I know it's got mustard in it, but that's all I know. I don't know what kind of mustard, but it's special.
Gordon's powdered
mustard. I'm going to call you Mark Boucher for the French here and the holiday this week. And happy Mother's Day to everybody out there celebrating. I lost my mom 6 years ago. My mom would be all down with a steak and potatoes over medium rare. If you haven't experienced the Le Relais experience, as I call it, in Paris or New York, you can check it out at the Rotunda. I've been talking about it, promising my wife. Like on some Wednesday night, we're going to go down there and we're really in the mood for seconds because you got to get the seconds, you know. But I can almost taste that sort of peppercorny sort of gravy thing that's so delicious. A little salad too?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Salad, fries, steak. Come see the man. It's medium rare. And, of course, you can find them out on the web as well. I'm at Fadley's. We're all courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Got some Pac-Man scratch-ups. I had some winners here earlier. People taking selfies. We had a good time. Good luck, man. Thanks for coming up here. Right? Now that I know you're a Ravens guy, I don't feel so. And a Phillies guy, that a Philly guy, it's a Ravens guy.
Yeah.
So next time we get together, we'll talk Philadelphia radio and Tommy Conwell and the Young Rumblers.
Deal. Oh, hey, Tommy Cowan, that's my man.
That's my dude now.
Yeah.
Tommy C's my boy.
Yeah.
I am Nestor. We're here at Faithley's. We're having a Maryland Crab Cake Tour with other cool restaurateurs in the Baltimore area. Get out and see them and get some steak and potatoes like I'm going to be doing here real soon.